It's Current State on WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. It's been nearly a month since the horrific shootings at Mother Emanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina, the murder of 9 African Americans at the hands of a 21-year-old white gunman, failed to produce the race war that the accused, Dylan Roof, claimed he wanted to start. The incident prompted the state of South Carolina to remove the Confederate flag from public display at the state capitol, moving it instead into a museum. Our next guest has studied race relations in America for many years. Donna Rich Kaplowitz is an assistant professor of international relations in the Residential College of Arts and Humanities here at Michigan State. Amazingly, Donna was inside Mother Emanuel Church on June 17th, some 2 hours before the shooting. Shortly after returning to Michigan, she wrote an op-ed in the Lansing State Journal in which she offers a sort of roadmap for how white people might address issues of race going forward. Donna Rich Kaplowitz, welcome.
Hi, nice to be here.
Thank you for being here. You were in Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston the afternoon of June 17th, just before the shooting. Why were you there?
So my family had planned a vacation in Charleston six months before the shooting. We, as Northerners, wanted to go see a Southern town. My family has been actively anti-racist advocates for my entire life. And when we were trying to decide where we wanted our next extended family vacation, we chose Charleston. And that very day, we had organized a tour of historic Black Charleston. And so we were visiting historic sites that were relevant to the Civil War, the aftermath of the Civil War, and all of the things that are important to understanding our history and white-black relations in the South.
You must have been stunned when you heard about this. Stunned might be too mild of a word. Where were you when you learned about the shooting, and what did you make of it?
Well, we were actually sitting around a large family gathering, and we were playing charades. And my daughter got a text message from a friend saying, "Something just happened in Charleston. Turn on the TV." And so we turned on the local news, and we were absolutely silenced, shocked that we happened to be at the location of the event just hours before it happened.
Just amazing. We're talking with Dr. Donna Rich Kaplowitz, assistant professor in the Residential College of Arts and Humanities here at Michigan State. She's studied both international relations and race relations and was in Charleston the day of the shooting at Mother Emanuel AME Church. Let's talk about some of the points that you made in your article about how white people can and need to address the issue of racism in a productive way. Some of the things you mentioned. We don't have time for all of them. I'm going to kind of cherry pick some of these. Listen to people of color. This suggests a dialogue. This conversation gets talked about a lot. Is any kind of dialogue happening now, in your view, or do we need to start one?
Well, I absolutely think that our country is engaged in a dialogue about race. I think that it's inevitable given what's happened in the last 2 years. Although I think what's happened is that we're only seeing what has been happening for a long time. And in part, it's because of the advent of cell phones and technology that's bringing to light a lot of things that Black folks have known are happening for a long time. So do I think that there's a dialogue? I think that there is. Do I think that there needs to be a deeper dialogue? Absolutely. I think that there are many ways that we can engage in these kinds of conversations. They're fundamental. And some of them need to happen really within the white community itself, because we're the people who haven't really been talking about it for a long time.
And how does that unfold? Where do these conversations take place? How do they get started? Have you gone that deep and thought
Absolutely.
About that?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, a colleague and I have started some conversations, and we've worked really hard on trying to identify the best ways to do this. So one of the things I do is I teach a course on dialogue. This fall, I'm working with a colleague in the Residential College, Tama Hamilton Ray, and we are leading our students on an understanding of how to facilitate dialogue across difference, and then they're going out into community and leading these dialogues with high school students. Mm. Another thing that I do is we sponsor a film series at the East Lansing Public Library on race. And so we show a film every month and bring in a facilitator to lead a community conversation about race after the films. This has been going on for over a year. It's been really meaningful.
Another of your recommendations, teach our children to see color, to understand that in our racialized world, and you crib Eldridge Cleaver here, we are complicit in perpetuating racism if we are not actively working against it. Cleaver allegedly said you're either part of the problem or part of the solution. I'm sure you know that. But how do you persuade people who resist that? I mean, some number of white people must think, hey, I'm not necessarily active, I'm not participating in any conversation about race, but by the same token, don't accuse me of being part of any problem. Do you think there are a lot of people like that? And how do you persuade those people that they can't sit on the sidelines?
Yeah, I think that a lot of good liberal white people are raised to think that because they're not actively committing acts of racism, they're not racist. However, by virtue of simply being white in the United States at this time, we are participating in a system, an institutionalized racism, system of institutionalized racism. And so we need to be able to figure out how to reach those very people, sort of just like me, white liberals who think that they're not part of the problem. We have to be able to see it. And that's why I say we need to teach our children. I think there was a misconception in this country for a very long time thinking that the goal was to be colorblind. And we've come to a point, those of us who do race research, in believing that we've moved beyond that and that we really actually need to see color because our institutions are racialized. Mm-hmm. And so we have to learn how to see it, address it, and then do something about it.
Donna Rich Kaplowitz is our guest. She's written a recent op-ed in the Lansing State Journal about what whites can do to forward the racial situation here in the United States. You recommend, this is very succinct, get uncomfortable. Why is doing what you view as right so uncomfortable?
Talking about race in the United States is incredibly uncomfortable. We can talk about almost anything else, but the minute that we start talking about race, people feel uncomfortable. White people especially feel uncomfortable. Black people talk about it all the time. They live it. White people don't have to talk about it. So what I advocate is that it is not going to be easy. We have to anticipate the fact that we're going to be in uncomfortable spaces. I'm going to be called out for things that I don't know that I'm doing that are discriminatory. And I have to be willing to sit in that discomfort and really evaluate what I've done and what I can do better and differently. So I think I'm calling upon myself first and foremost, and then my white friends, colleagues, and other citizens to think deeply about what we can do to actively participate in ending, abolishing a systematic racism in our country.
How do we reach the Dylann Roofs of the world?
You know, I don't have an answer to that. I don't know that anybody does. I think that what we do is that we begin by working with the people who are more ready to be to participate in the dismantling of the system of racism, so that when I reach other people that are open-minded but don't see themselves as part of the problem, that's where we start to shift the public opinion and eventually, perhaps. But a person like, I don't even want to say his name, like the man who committed these atrocities, he's going to be somebody that we have to do more about gun control and that kind of thing to address those issues.
You and many others refer increasingly to white privilege. Can you give us a good working definition of white privilege? How does white privilege manifest itself?
So by virtue of being born white in the United States, I am given a set of privileges that I did nothing to earn. So when I walk down the street, I am perceived as a person who you can trust. When I walk into a store, I'm not followed like some of my black colleagues and friends. When I'm looking for products for my skin or my hair, they're ubiquitous. If you go to Myers today and look in the doll aisle and you try to find a doll that looks like a black person, it is much harder to do that. So those are the kind of privileges that we don't see. That is the thing about white privilege, is that you don't see it because it is so omnipresent. It exists in our society that It makes us comfortable and think that it's normal to be white.
But is it fair to say that many white people are simply not even aware of the privileges that they enjoy? That seems to be at the heart of what you're saying.
That is exactly the heart of it. That you don't have to be aware that you're white
right.
when you walk out the door.
Does that confer some degree of guilt? Or should it not confer some degree of guilt? And does that hang this whole process mm-hmm. off?
Yeah, I mean, I think that people are resistant to seeing it because they don't want to feel guilty. They don't want to get to that uncomfortable space. But I don't think that by recognizing that I have certain privileges afforded to me by virtue of my birth, that makes me guilty. It mm-hmm. just makes me responsible. Like, mm-hmm. I have to see it now. Once you see it, you see it. Mm-hmm. And then the next step is learning how to respond.
Donna Rich Kaplowitz is an expert in international relations. She's an assistant professor in the Residential College of Arts and Humanities here at Michigan State. We've been talking about race relations in America and what types of actions whites may take to stand up against racism. Donna, thank you for your time.
Oh, my pleasure.